Radio Real. Real radio, your reality.
Welcome to Off the Shelf,
the Second Life radio show and podcast about books and the people who love them.
I'm Kigia Girardi.
And this is Simeon Beresford.
Join us as we survey the literary scene in our virtual world. Hello, and welcome to Bookstacks. Or to Off the Shelf.
Yes, welcome. Today we have Adele Ward on our show. Adele is a fiction writer as well as an accomplished journalist and poet. She is one of the founders and most active supporters of written word in Second Life, where those of you in world will know her as Julie Kidd. Adele and her team have managed to build up a great community at written word.
Adele's ability to establish connections with First Life writers and journalists has made her one of our role models on Off the Shelf. For the past 2 years, she has hosted the popular Treat TV series, Meet an Author, and today we're going to put her on the other side of the mic and ask her the questions.
Hello, Adele. We're happy you could come on the show.
Hello, both of you. I'm delighted to be invited here.
So, how come as soon as we think of a guest to have on our show, we see them on Meet an Author first? I mean, seriously, how did you choose your guests?
Well, this has changed over the 2 years I've been hosting this show, and I've had more than 40 shows now. And I started at the beginning by choosing guests by the many published authors who were already on Second Life. It's a completely impartial show, so any author or publisher can ask to appear, and there's no charge to appear on the show. But I also set out actively to look for authors myself, and that's what I did at the beginning. And it was meant to be a series of 10 shows, but it has really taken off, more than 40 now. And it's got to the point now where so many people ask to come on the show that I probably can't fit them all in now. But I'd always give priority to authors who are already active on Second Life as well.
Excellent.
So in real life, you're a journalist. Was that a big help when you were getting guests?
Yes, my main career has been in journalism. I'm not sure it helped me actually get guests, but being a journalist has probably helped me with interview technique, helping the guests to relax as they're often very nervous. Mainly the very successful women authors are very nervous, oddly enough. So having been experienced at interview technique helps that. Also knowing how to completely change the questions if the interview takes an unexpected turn and all that my well-scripted questions have to be thrown out the window and we talk about something different.
Don't do that to us.
I'll try not to. But also the guests like to watch the show before coming on, or so they have to come on after they've seen the show. So I suppose possibly my journalistic experience would have helped if they like the way the interview goes. I'm not really sure.
Oh, I think we might have lost someone then. So how does it feel from your side of the camera?
It's actually really nice to be interviewed rather than to be doing the interview, which is hard work, as you know. It feels nerve-wracking at first to be put in the hot seat of being asked questions. But then you know what it's like once we're on a show. It's very nice. I think probably the thing that helped me most to get guests is the fact that as well as being a journalist, I'm a fiction editor and an author myself, and that's made it a lot easier to talk to publishers and authors, as I have a lot of contacts in real life among them, and Facebook has made it very easy to build up a really good network of them.
So are there any particular challenges to recording a television interview in Second Life? Do you find guests from out world pose any special problems?
I think one of the biggest worries I always have is that there's always the risk of SL crashing just when, particularly if it's an international bestseller coming on. That really makes me anxious. So I just have to warn them beforehand that even though we've done loads of preparation, it's possible FL may crash. They may have technical difficulties. Although it's very unusual for that to happen. And it's a question of managing expectations if everything crashes. It's just a sort of cutting edge technology, I would say, and we'll do it on another day. The other thing with guests who are not from Second Life is that I have to quickly train them to use Second Life and audio. And the best-selling authors, again, are the biggest challenge because they have so little time. So they tend to come on just before the show, no matter what I ask them to do, and I have to give them a really, to give them a really quick induction, often on stage in front of the audience, and tell them their underwear's showing or they've taken their hair off or something like that. That's the last minute.
It's hard to handle that with some dignity, isn't it?
It's actually hilarious, you know, when they come on. And what I found is best now is I make them the avatar because they were having trouble with that. And it helps people be incognito, even if they're already on with an avatar. But I make them this beautiful avatar that they've asked for. And the first thing they do when they come on stage is edit appearance, turn it into a hobbit and take the hair off for some reason.
That's funny.
So, well, it's very funny.
It sounds like it. Your show predates Off the Shelf by quite a bit. As Meet the Author goes forward, what are your future ambitions for the show?
It's been going for more than 2 years now. It's just about had its two-year anniversary. I want to carry on with it the way it is. It's a completely impartial show where any author can apply to come on. The authors aren't from a particular agency or publisher, which was the way author shows were happening on SL at the time I came on. So it's all completely non-income for me, but that's the only way you can have a completely impartial show at the moment and to make it like a real-life book show, just as this one is that you're giving at the moment. In future, I'd also like to make some shorter broadcast myself of the authors reading from their books because I think audience would like those shorter clips as well.
Mm-hmm. I think so as well. Which writers have you been most excited to meet?
The shows are all still available on the Treat TV website on iTunes if you search for Adele Ward, and you can hear the ones where I got really excited. And one of them was when I met Terence Dix, the Doctor Who author, who really excited the audience as well. I'd watched Doctor Who as a child when he was writing it, so you can hear the excitement in my voice meeting him. He was also just such a great guest. And he revealed what he dislikes about the recent Doctor Who series, and I didn't expect him to say certain things about how much he dislikes things the writers have done and the way they've changed it. And that show and the others are all still available. The other time you can hear me get even more excited was one day when I had Chris Killen on the show, who works at the University of Manchester. I didn't realise he worked with Martin Amis, who is one of my absolutely favourite authors. And he told me that Martin Amis would be watching the show. And I'm such a massive fan, I lost my voice. Completely forgot my questions. And it didn't matter if I had them scripted or if I could think of something new just for a few minutes there. I was really blundering my way through it. So those were the two very exciting moments.
Definitely something to write about for sure.
So recently you've been working on the other side of the camera. You've been getting into Machinima. Is this part of your poetry video jukebox project? Or?
Well, I sort of felt that I should learn everything about the show so I could understand what everyone is doing. And it certainly helps you realise what's going on of the other people filming here. Also because I wanted to make these short clips of authors reading from their books because I think that would be very nice. And to practice it, I got software and a fancy gadget to pan around. It's very difficult to use. And I thought to practice, I'll take some short clips of poets, just go around the different venues. And it's really nice to go to a lot of different venues, which a lot of us organisers don't have time to do. And just to sit there in the audience watching the poets and filming them. And it really helps you concentrate on the words. And I made these short clips as practice because I'm not very good yet. And I put them on YouTube. And somebody said to me, it's like a poetry jukebox. It really is. And So Laura was doing it for practice. I think it's probably going to turn out to be one of the most popular things probably that I do with this filming, however it's pronounced.
Well, it's no surprise that you've chosen to record poets, since you yourself have recently published a collection. Is Never Never Land your first book of poems?
Yes, it's my first full collection of poetry. I had 20 pages of poetry in an anthology published by John Murray a few years ago. And I did have a poetry collection accepted more years ago than that. And it's worthwhile saying this because the reason that wasn't published was that the publisher failed financially, which is a great risk always for small publishers. And it's a great risk at the moment during the recession. So I'm helping organise a Save Our Small Publishers campaign at the minute, which encourages everybody to buy just one book from a small publisher that buys that poetry and debut novels. Because unless we have those publishers taking that risk, there won't be enough publishers around to help writers get that first foot in the door. And I've been told if everybody who submitted manuscripts to a publisher would buy just one book, all of them would survive. They'd all be in profit.
Oh, yeah.
Amazing. Well, let us know what we can do to help you get that message out and get the campaign even more visibility. How did your collection of poetry come together? How did you decide what to include and bring it all in to one piece?
Well, I've always written, and as I say, I had that first book that I was writing, and when the publisher failed, I moved to Italy and I got married and had my children, and it was so stimulating to be there. I got complete writer's block for 4 years in Italy. I came back from Italy, I'd had my children, and having children seemed to make me start writing more and with more of a focus. I came back 11 years ago, and I've been writing in a much more concentrated way ever since. It took me the best part of those, 10 years or so to write Never Never Land. During that time, I got spotted on the internet and I was invited on MA with Andrew Motion, and I workshopped with him, so that increased the focus. And then I was then spotted on the internet on a book reviewing site. I do a lot of book reviews, by another book reviewer who asked to see my poetry when he heard I was a poet. And I didn't know he was the poetry editor for Blue Crane Publishing, and they selected my poems in that way. So I feel it's really important to show your poetry or your writing on the internet, because I've actually been picked up twice through being on the internet without applying. So I'm a great believer in that.
Yeah, people are very cautious about putting their work out and having it stolen, plagiarized even. So it's good to hear a positive result.
I actually didn't show my poetry, is probably the odd thing about it, but I do think people should share their poetry, because like these clips that I'm taking, I'm showing them on YouTube, they get promoted on my Facebook, poets and publishers in the real world, it's all the real world to me, they are seeing those clips, and some of the poets we have here are excellent. Mm-hmm. Somebody may have a chance of being picked up. If you don't show your work, then it's very hard. It's very hard for a talent spotter to see you. But at the very least, they could get invited to, Planex Northmead is a wonderful London poet on those clips. Various London events would encourage him to go and read with them, I'm sure, having seen the quality of his work.
Right. Planex is great. In Never Never Land, is there a theme throughout the poetry, or is it chronologically laid out? What can people expect from... I know it's hard to give a synopsis of a book of poetry, but what can people expect from the book?
It does take people through my life. The odd thing probably is that it isn't chronological. It's the problem I had with it, which every poet has, is ordering their poems. And because it was written... I was jumping backwards and forwards through my life, writing about different experiences and relationships that form us and make us what we are. So hopefully other people would identify with that. So it's not just me, it's my mother's story in certain ways and my father's story, and what shaped them and made them who they are, which shapes what happens between us and what made me who I am. But all of that had to be ordered. When you have that many not that many poems, but poems over such a length of time, it's hard to put them in a correct order because poems do chime together. So I put it into sections, and the sections didn't work out chronologically. They actually work out by location. So some are in Italy. It starts in Italy, which is more recent, at the time of my marriage. It goes back to Cookham, which was where I grew up with my parents. And in the middle, there's London, which is where I live now. So it sort of goes about by location, oddly enough, that the places shape our personality too.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm. So how does Just Poets fit into this?
Just Poets came about when I came back from Italy as well, because I really wanted to get on the internet. When I went to Italy, it was before that, it was in the 90s, and the internet hadn't taken off too much, but I love technology. I was a technology and business journalist. And in Italy, it was quite hard for me to get on the internet. It was going to be set up in our block of flats, but it hadn't happened yet. And I couldn't wait to get back to London to get on the internet. And one of the first things I did was start the Just Poets website. And I started it as a place where people could share their poetry on the message board. And it quite quickly became clear that they wanted to share their poems and have a workshop. So I've been workshopping people there for about 11 years, and the other poets on the site as well all workshop each other. So the workshop goes very well with all of us doing it.
Yeah. So others have been published?
Yes, it's been very successful. Over those 11 years, I've seen people really start polishing their work, getting published in magazines, getting books published, and to name the ones who are on at the moment, I've got much more active on Second Life, but I always say people can use that workshop too. But if the poet's on there at the moment, I'm there, I'm published. There's Mike Horwood on there, who's been recently published by Cinnamon Press. He brought out a translation of the Finnish poet Martti Hinnanen, who's a top poet in Finland, and that's up for the Popescu Translation Prize this year. And while he was on Just Poets, he also got published in magazines and was accepted for an MA at Manchester University, which he did distance because he's in Finland. There's also Paul McGrain, who is the poetry membership manager at the Poetry Society, and he's recently been published in Tall Lighthouse. There are some fantastic poets on there, actually. There are more, but those are two who are active at the moment. Clannock Northmead goes on there as well.
Well, it's time for a music break. After the break, we'll talk about your activities in world.
Thank you.
All right, that music selection was Simeon's choice this week, and I don't think that's going to surprise you. It was called Ain't Going Bald, Just Getting More Head by Ernie Southern. It's provided by Mevio's Music Alley. You can check it out at music.mevio.com.
Yeah, I sipped one pasta there. As many of our guests have said, Second Life is a great community for writers. Did you come into SL for that reason, to find a network of writers?
Well, I have to say, when I came in, it wasn't a great community for writers when I came in just over 2.5 years ago, but I did come in for that reason. What happened, I was busy writing a novel and I was intending to write a chapter a month, and I'd started in November, and by December I went ice skating at near the Tower of London in the open air in London, and I fell and broke my wrist and I couldn't write. And at the same time, I saw Second Life on television on the Richard and Judy show, which you'll know, Simeon, but for Americans, maybe something like the Oprah Winfrey show. And there was an author on there who said he enjoyed using Second Life in some kind of way. So I thought I would try it, although I'd never been on a virtual world. I came on to Second Life, and I would have left it straight away, actually, because I came on, I couldn't find anything or anyone. It's really hard to find places when you come on. And I was just very lucky. I walked into Wicked Karma radio station and met Callie Playfair, who was really nice and helpful. And she pointed me to the Blue Angel Poets Dive and Open Mic, which is a fantastic venue run by Persephone Phoenix, who was one of the first people on Second Life. And it's lucky she sent me there because, to be honest, I went round trying other places, and there was practically nothing else for writers on Second Life at that time. And Persephone's event was at 1 o'clock every Sunday, but I used to go there and we did open mics, typing poems into chat. And it was just, I stayed on to go to that at 1 o'clock, and I was absolutely dead on Mondays because I have to get up early, I have children. And that was why I really wanted to try and have events at UK Times and to meet more of the writing community.
So addressing the needs of UK writers was part of what inspired Written Word.
I think by the time I started Written Word, I'd already tried to start this project twice, but I tried to start it on two different islands and it went wrong for various reasons. The owners weren't completely thinking along the same lines as me, but I've always been very international, so I always wanted to. One of my main things coming on to Second Life was to meet writers from all over the world, but I did also need there to be a time of day when I could be on. So that was why our events all tended to end up about 2 p.m. or 3 p.m., which are 10 o'clock and 11 o'clock UK time, because I could meet, we can get a few continents together at that time.
Yes, that's definitely a challenge, Simeon, I have noticed as well. Over the last 2 years, your community has just really grown, offering more events all the time. But what are you offering now if people go to Written Word?
I think it's been quite good in a way, except that it becomes more time consuming and more work because writing is my passion. I think that's probably obvious. So I was doing this on Just Poets. So it's natural for me to do it in real life. It was natural for me to do that on Second Life when I came on. But every time we offer something, then there's so many venues have taken off now, which is wonderful. It's mushroomed, it's escalated all over Second Life, which is just as it should be. But then I have to think, well, what else can we give writers? That's all been provided now. So we keep thinking of something extra, and now we have a fiction workshop, and we have authors from the show will come back and teach writing as well. I think the broadcasting is something people really like because it shows people out in the wider online community, what we're doing here, and it takes their writing out to people, because I suppose people do want to be invited to take part at real life events, to maybe have the chance of being talent spotted by a publisher. So I suppose that's part of it at the moment. And I also invited publishers to have free space on our area because publishers were leaving Second Life. Bantam Dell has left, famously, and they were one of the main ones. E. Harlequin were on, and they left. I did offer them both space, but they had already made the decision to go. So I rounded up any publishers I could find, and I offered them free space to keep them on, and particularly if they're offering something to writers. And most of them do have ways to submit without an agent. People can submit by email attachment, and they also give very good guidelines on how to submit. So I think help getting people published is possibly something a bit unique to what I can do, because I work in that industry, and that gives me a lot of satisfaction. And in fact, at the moment, I've heard one of the first writers I met 2 years ago, Dennis Tafoya, who used to come to events, and he's had his novel published by St. Martin's, and hopefully he'll come on the show. And it was through SL Contacts that he found his agent led to him getting published. So
that must thrill you as well as the author to know that you helped support them in that way.
It feels fantastic. I can't take credit for it, because when I saw him, I knew, they say an editor knows straight away from a bit of writing someone who's publishable, and I knew that as soon as I saw his. It was lovely that he came back and said thanks for what I'd done, and that the community had helped, because I think sometimes we feel we put in so many hours here and we think, why do we do it? Apart from it's a passion.
Definitely.
But just one person saying it directly led to them getting published is probably enough.
Oh yes. So tell me about the other people in your community, in your team, Hastings, Tori Lynn, the others. Is there anyone else?
Yes, now I'll have to explain how this goes. Sinclair Melville owns the island, and he very generously provided the island for writers and creative people, and he invited me there to set up the project. He knew I'd been trying it here and there and was having various problems in different areas, and he's left me total independence to run the project how I want. So Sinclair Melville has been fantastic, and he's also a great help. He would come and help technically when there's a show. I couldn't have done it myself when Thinker offered me the land, so I invited Hastings Bournemouth, who's Peter Chowney in real life. He does the build and the website, and we're the two ones organising Written Word. I do the Meet an Author show, and Hastings does the Writer's Circle on Wednesdays, and I assist him at that. I asked Thinker and Melville if Inksters could have space on the island too, because they're another very big writing group, and Tori Lynn Writer actually organises Inksters, but because we're two big writing groups, the things we do overlap a lot. And Tori Lynn Writer and Destry Recreant come, and they lead a short story discussion group on Fridays, which really is a kind of reading as a writer group, and we're incredibly harsh and critical. So I think those groups, because it's so harsh and critical, I think people really do look at their own writing after they've really knocked another person's writing so much. They also help with we have a small and very, very, very good fiction writing workshop on a Saturday, and Tori Lynn and Destry are key people in that as well. We also have, so these are the people who help regularly. Sounds of Poems, which is in the town centre on Cookie, is shared between the groups. But that's the first weekly event I ever started on Second Life. And I used to have a stream from Treat TV under their last name. And they let me use that stream so we could talk into it. And that actually brought voice to poetry open mics for the first time. So that's been going for well over 2 years now. And there are a set of people who are regular hosts at that. I host it with Destry Recreant one day, Hastings Bournemouth and Persephone Phoenix one day, and Morg McMillan, the German writer, she's excellent at that. And she's also a very great help on the area with a lot of events. Corwin Allen, who's an actor, reads at that as well. Clannox Northmead reads at Sounds of Poems, and also Tori Lynn Writer. So there are quite a few people who, it's a very egalitarian island, and everyone gets a chance to be up on stage and to join in.
So tell us about this novel that you're writing. You're at the editing phase now. What's it all about?
I am. I've just thought I should actually also mention Mikel Barrel, who runs the Spanish writers group, because I do feel other languages need to get set up the way we've helped English-speaking people. So Mikel Barrel is also very good with his Spanish writing group, Casta Latura. Yes, the novel I'd started before I came onto Second Life, I wrote it as a short story, and I realised by the end of the short story that it wasn't a short story, it needed to continue. It's called Everything is Free. And it started off as a short story, which is very like Second Life. When I came on Second Life, I actually did what my main character did. She's a 19-year-old girl. She goes into a shopping centre and she decides to move in and live there. And that was the short story. Of course, it couldn't happen without a security guard noticing her and turning a blind eye to it, which happens at the end of that short story, which made it have to be a novel because you can't really leave it there. And
the relationship has to go somewhere.
Something has to happen. But it's not all just about living in a shopping centre. I like to work with a small stage where people like Martin Amis deal with the whole world, it seems, or our whole culture. I like to work on a small stage. So I've got this shopping centre, which is a small stage, but all the world seems to come there and not happen in it.
So it's below, so above. So tell me about NaNoWriMo. You're a big supporter of that. What happened to your work at NaNoWriMo last year? I remember you were busily writing away at all our suggestions. I haven't heard anything since.
Yes, well, I used it to just about finish my novel. Didn't completely finish it, but finished it soon after. I'd never done NaNoWriMo before. I felt we should do it because SL supports it so much, but I'll certainly support it every year because I just saw how much it inspired people. And so we gave them space on the area to do that.
Yes, everyone was busily writing away there. Okay, only a few more things. We've got to find out about your Autumn Writers Exhibition. When's that coming up?
Yes, I'd better be quite quick because I know you have to wrap up. The Autumn Writers Exhibition is in October, but we let people set up in September. We still have space on the island and we'll have tents up here and there all over the island, so writers will get free space to display, whether they're hobbyists or writing a lot or published authors or writing groups like yourself. And we'll be at Burning Life before that as well, and hope all the writing groups will be at Burning Life and a lot of writers. I'll send out a notice so we have more writers at Burning Life. It's all been too visual art before and music. We need more writers at all these events.
Oh, that's a good point. You do. We have one question that we typically ask everyone at the end of our show. What are you reading at the moment?
Yes. Well, I always read a few books at the same time, and that might sound strange, but I'll be able to tell you how I managed to do that. One is poetry, and it's Pascal Petit, The Tree Keeper's Tale. Pascal Petit is my very favourite poet. Living poet and possibly favourite poet even of all poets. She really is wonderful. People should read Pascal Petit, The Tree Keeper's Tale, or The Zoo Father is another one by her. She's wonderful. I was delighted when I went onto Facebook to see she was there. I friended her and I asked for an author signed copy for her, which she nicely gave. So as part of the Save Our Small Publishers campaign, you could come onto Facebook and ask people for a signed copy, which makes it even more special.
Wow.
We'll put in a link to that, I think. That
I get all author signed copies, yeah. The second one, because I do book reviews, is fiction, and this is White Woman, Green Bicycle by Monique Roffey. She's a wonderful... Monique Roffey was born in Trinidad. She lives in London now. This is her second novel. It's set in Trinidad. She's got to be one of our best female novelists, I think, in the UK at the moment. I read her debut novel, Sundog. And this one, White Woman, Green Bicycle, absolutely fantastic. I'm reviewing that for Simon & Schuster. I'll keep this quick. The third one is non-fiction. This is how I managed to read all three of them. You can dip into some of these. The third one is The Third Man Factor by John Geiger, who's the next person on the Meet an Author show, because I do read the books. And he's a fantastic nonfiction writer. The Third Man Factor is about that experience explorers and people near death in extreme situations have when a mysterious presence seems to come and help them through. And he has gathered all of those experiences, and it's impossible to put down. And those are my three books at the moment.
Well, thank you, Adele. You've been very generous with your time and resources. And I'd like to say on behalf of everyone in Second Life how much we appreciate that.
Thanks, Adele. We are going to wrap up the show, but I'd like to remind listeners to visit our website, www.thebookstacks.org, to find out about our various reading groups and to be updated on Bookstacks events and off-the-shelf show notes, such as the notes from today's interview with Adele.
Now we go to the in-world discussion.
Off the Shelf is produced for Radio Reel by Zanaxi Han, Kagia Gerardi, and Simeon Beresford. Technical production is by Radio Reel. You can find Radio Reel on the web at radioreel.org. Music on this program includes works by artists on the Magnatune label. The music in the general introduction is John Playford's All in a Garden Green by Eileen Hadidian and Natalie Cox from their album Dolce Musica, A Contemplative Journey. The off-the-shelf theme music is 1500 Tons by Burning Babylon from the album Stereo Mashup. And we bid you goodbye with this piece, Hagagasan 14 by Eternal Jazz Project from their album Gratis Jazz. You can learn more about Magnatune and their artists on their website at magnatune.com. Off the Shelf is licensed under Creative Commons.